From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The number of people living in cars and RVs on San Francisco streets is on the rise, part of a broader spike in homelessness. Now, two city supervisors want to offer safe parking and access to social services for the vehicle dwellers at an empty lot in San Francisco's Outer Mission District. We'll hear about the plan. And then at 9:30, John Paul Stevens died yesterday at the age of 99, appointed by a Republican. He went on to lead the court's liberal wing, and we'll discuss his life and his legacy. That's next, after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Two San Francisco supervisors have proposed creating a designated parking site for people who live in their cars. Supervisors Asha Safi'i and Valley Brown have suggested a site close to Balboa Park BART station that would accommodate up to 33 vehicles for stays of up to 90 days, and the site would offer bathroom, security, and access to social services. And joining us to discuss the proposal is Supervisor Safi'i. Good to have you back with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Let's begin by giving listeners some statistics, because what we're talking about is since 2017, and we do have numbers on this, there's been a real increase in the number of people living in their cars or living in their vehicles. Survey shows that 35% are unsheltered in vehicles. That's gone up from about 13% back in 2015. So we have a real problem. I mean, this is the beginning, at least, of doing something about it and doing something that you hope will be replicated. But let's talk about what you're doing here.
Yeah, let me give a little context. So about 2 years ago, we started to see a dramatic increase of the number of people, first in RVs, vans, vehicles, really started to become apparent all over my district. And we started by trying to have this conversation about, well, what happened to the overnight parking? I thought the rules say you can't sleep in your car. So the area where this was at was over near a little neighborhood park, and I guess the signs had been ripped down. So we went to the SFMTA and said, hey, what happened to the signs? Let's get these no overnight parking signs back up. In some areas, they said yes, but in another area, they said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to keep doing this and pushing it from neighborhood to neighborhood. So Supervisor Brown approached me and said, Asha, I want to work with you on this. I have my own personal experience. I actually, at one point in my life, lived in an RV. And so we decided to take a survey of the entire country in California and look at what the best practices were. And we went to Mayor Breed and said, we want your support on this. At the same time, Supervisor Ronan saw an explosion of people living in RVs in her district. So she joined on board.
I think your district has the lowest homeless population, though, doesn't
it? We have one of the lowest, but if we do have homeless people, a significant number are living in their cars. And so when this all was going on, started to get a lot of emails of people saying, hey, I have people parking in front of my house. They're throwing their trash on the street. They don't have anywhere to use the restroom. They don't have anywhere to put their waste. And then others were saying, what are we doing to step up, to be compassionate? How are we going to help in this problem, this homeless crisis? So we proposed legislation, and then that legislation made its way through. The mayor was able to allocate $1 million for this program. And the Board of Supervisors just added another $200,000 during the budget process. So the next step was we have to find a site. And the site that we're proposing is a site that is going to be built for affordable housing. The mayor and
I... planned by 2020, you're talking about?
It will happen. We will be breaking ground October or November of next year, no matter what. No delays. The mayor and I worked together, and she gave us an additional $28 million for that project in this budget. So this project is very close to being fully funded. But we decided, hey, can we use this parking lot during that time in a creative way? And so we went to the Department of Public Works. We went to the Department of Homelessness Supportive Housing. And they came back with a plan that said we could do about 33 cars on this site. Now, let's be clear. I want the listeners to know this. It will have 24-hour security. It will have offices.
Maybe a little flesh out what that security is going to be.
It's going to be two full-time people there on site that know how to deal with this population. The group that we're going to work with is called Hunters Point Family. They're doing great work in Civic Center in coordination with the police. Not only are they security, but they also know how to deal with this population of people. It will have offices for social service providers. It will have restroom facilities.
Referrals by the homeless outreach team for what, 90-day stays?
Yeah, so first, I'm just kind of describing the site, but yes, to get into the facility, there has to be an assessment and a screening, and then they will refer people to the site. You won't be able to just drive up. You won't be able to hang outside and park your car and wait for your turn. It's not like that. It will not be that way. They will go out and assess the people in my district first, in District 11, in the Excelsior, in the Outer Mission, in the Crocker, Amazon, Cayuga, OMI neighborhoods, and say, we're going to refer you first, and then they're going to go to the adjacent neighborhoods.
And the opposition at this point, I mean, because the Navigation Center got a lot of opposition. I think they're facing a lawsuit now, and it's built on the Embarcadero.
We tried a little bit of a different approach. I mean, this process might feel like it's moving fast for some people. When we found out that it was financially feasible and physically feasible to use this site, we immediately had a stakeholder meeting with about 40 neighborhood leaders, residents, groups on this topic. We talked them through the entire proposal. And you know what? Surprisingly, Michael, every single person walked out of that room saying, we support this. We want to step up and do something positive to help this homeless crisis. We then had another meeting with some other neighborhood leaders. And then last night I was at the police captain's meeting. And we've announced that we're going to have a large neighborhood town hall on Saturday from 11 to 1 at Balboa High School to continue the conversation. Nothing is finalized. Nothing is set in stone. But we want to continue the community conversation and see if we can actually come to some consensus for this site.
And some of the people will be presumably resistant to the idea of having cast rules and case manager and all that sort of thing?
Well, the idea is if you refuse to go to the site and you're parking in front of someone's house in the neighborhood, that then we're going to have to have a little bit of tough love, too, because now we actually have an option for people. And so the police will then be able to say to people, well, you know, the police code, the administrative code, planning doesn't allow you to be here. So some people will move on, but we're hoping that the majority will take an opportunity. And then once they're there, the goal is to connect them into our coordinated entry system in the homeless network for a homeless service provider network.
Talking with Supervisor Asha Safai, and he is District 11 Supervisor with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about this. You can share your thoughts with us right now on this proposal for designated parking for people who are living in their vehicles. Your thoughts are welcome, or any questions you have for the supervisor, you can join us now, and I invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786, so please feel free to join the program and have your voice heard. And again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, give us your thoughts by getting in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or you can email questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. And here's Andy right away, who says, anything is better than the alternative of pretending the problem doesn't exist or should not be addressed. It's a no-brainer. Agree, Supervisor? Characterize this as a no-brainer?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I hope that in the end, once we have this conversation, people will feel like this is a real positive step. But I also have to say, I understand, you know, as a father, as a homeowner, as a longtime neighborhood resident, I understand the reservation. People will say, hey, this is not really the part of town that needs this. But then when you talk about how there has been this major increase of people sleeping in their vehicles. I mean, and by the way, let's talk about that for a second, Michael. This is, in a lot of cases, these are not just your traditional homeless population. I mean, these are construction workers. These are Uber and Lyft drivers. These are people, these are students. These are people that traditionally would have had an ability to access our housing market. So this is also in response to the affordability crisis in San Francisco. It's no coincidence that we've seen this increase. You said some numbers in the beginning. The largest increase in our homeless point in time count, 68% of that increase was people living in their vehicles.
But you know the arguments, and I'd like you to address them for a moment before we go to our calls.
Sure.
The arguments are this brings down the neighborhood. This you have people who may be disposed toward transgressive behavior of one sort or another, and all of those kinds of things do figure into the picture. They have to.
Well, in this situation, I think it's a little bit different. And of course they do, and that's why I say I understand some of the reservations. But in this situation, there are people living in their vehicles already in our neighborhood. They're throwing their trash on the street. They don't have necessarily somewhere to use restroom facilities and bathing facilities. They don't have access to services. They're in an unsafe environment. So what we're saying is, rather than being there on San Jose Avenue or Alemany Boulevard or over there on DeWolf Street, you now have an option. We are going to assess you, refer you, and get you into a safer environment where we can get you into more permanent housing. As we've explained that to a lot of the people that had some reservations in the beginning, I think they're becoming a little bit more open to the idea, those that were resistant. Some will take the position that you said. They'll say, no matter what, this is not something.
We don't want these folks in our neighborhood. You're going to hear that.
Right.
I mean, that's a given. But also, you're working with MTA, and I want to get you on record on that, the Metropolitan Transit Association.
Right. So the site.
Agency, excuse me.
That's right. So the site used to be owned by the SFMTA. What happened about a couple years ago is that it was purchased by the Mayor's Office of Housing, and they chose Mission Housing Development Corporation, a nonprofit, to build 138 units of affordable housing. So that is going to happen, as I said, October and November next year. And so we're working with SFMTA. We're working with Public Works. We've gotten talked to BART leadership and BART board directors. We've talked to the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. We're doing this in a very coordinated, open approach. We're not trying to ram anything through. But I will say, and this is something to note, this has never been done before in San Francisco. We do not have and never have had a place where people can be referred to that are living in their vehicles.
We're talking, if you've just joined us, with Supervisor Asha Safai, and he's supervisor from District 11 with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, talking about San Francisco having a designated site for people living in their cars and RVs. And we're going to go right to your calls here. Let me just read a comment, though. We're getting some testimony from listeners. This is Matt, who writes, I used to be an Uber driver in the Bay Area, and I would have to sleep in my car pretty regularly when I would be taken out of the way from my house in the middle of the night and be too tired to drive home. It's almost impossible to find an absolutely safe place to park your car and sleep unless you're willing to drive out to the suburbs and risk getting a ticket or having the police called on you. Let me go to our callers, and let's begin with a San Francisco caller. James, you're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. A couple of things. One, can you give the exact location for this facility? I think all I've heard so far is sort of a nebulous term near the Balboa BART station. So you can give an intersection or an address.
Yeah, it's between San Jose Avenue and Geneva. I think, isn't that right, Supervisor?
That's right. It's immediately adjacent. It's on the corner of San Jose and Geneva. The physical address is 500 Geneva, but people refer to it as the Upper Yard. So it's right near the Kiss and Ride right there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You were asking something else, though, James?
Yes. A couple, just one quick, two quick things. One, the last comment by the Uber driver, you know, this facility to me seems to be more geared towards the homeless, not Uber drivers who don't want to drive home. So what's that? What are going to be the control points there? And then lastly, once the general homeless population finds out about this location, I realize that it's only for cars, but you're going to attract all kinds of folks. The homeless population is like everybody else, good and bad. How are you guys going to handle that? I'll take my answer off the
James,
air.
James, before you get an answer from the supervisor, can I just ask you, you live in the district, my producer tells me, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and so you have concerns, apprehensions?
You know, I think it's a good idea. I think the supervisor is on the right track. These folks are trying to stay in the area. They're trying to make a go of it. They're not on the sidewalks. They're not on the street. So they have some fortitude. They're trying to do something to maintain their ability to stay in San Francisco. The concern that I do have is it's high density, a lot of traffic. I know people in San Francisco hate cars, but a lot of cars there. And once the general homeless population finds out that there's a center there, even though it's for cars and people who live in cars, you're going to have people from all over the city, from the homeless population showing up, the good and the bad. How is that going to be mitigated?
All right. Thank you, James, for your call. Appreciate it. And Supervisor, let's go to you. First of all, the control point about Uber drivers, can you address that, his first question?
Well, so the idea is if someone is, again, living in their vehicle, whether it's a car, whether it's a van, whether it's an RV, and they're consistently in the same area constantly, they will be, you know, this is exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to address. And so that's why I brought up Uber and Lyft drivers, because it is something that's real. It's happening all over the place.
It's mainly for the homeless. I mean, he's right in that assumption, isn't he?
Well, the idea is, and this is something that's a little bit, has been difficult for me to grasp as well, is that this is not your normal homeless population. There are people that are living in all three of the types of vehicles that I said, some of them construction workers, some of them Uber and Lyft drivers.
And you're talking about a lot of people have been displaced, obviously.
Yeah, and they're here on our streets on a consistent basis. So the first thing, to James's point, we're starting with those that are in District 11 first. We did an assessment about 6 months ago when we brought this to the mayor and we brought this to Department of Homeless Supportive Housing. They did a point-in-time count. We had almost 500 people living in their vehicles. We have all that documented and registered. And so they're going to go to those people in District 11 first and then the adjacent neighborhoods. But to his point about being a magnet, this, let me be clear, this will not be a navigation center. There is no place to go and be and stay in. There will be a small office for social service providers for the folks on site. There will be multiple gates. You will not be able to enter. There won't be any guests allowed. It's not that type of, it's a very different type of setup. And again, it is a pilot. We will have it for about a year. And then after that point, hopefully there'll be some lessons learned, and this will be done really well. And I think other neighborhoods in the city will probably step up. The thing that makes us different from a lot of other ways to serve the homeless population is that it requires minimal investment. It's mainly for parking lots, right? And then there will be screening on the site, meaning they'll put up screens so you can't see into it. There'll be lighting. There'll be the two 24-hour security guards, community ambassadors.
And you have services people who are directing folks toward,
right,
you know, finding permanent housing and all,
right,
those kinds of things.
But I want to address James's point because I think that's something that comes up. And so we will be coordinating with the police. We will be coordinating with SFMTA. And so the idea that people will be attracted to this site to get service, there's no services for them to get unless they're referred and they're living in a vehicle. So we are going to do everything we can to, and we have the neighborhood police captain on board, SFMTA on board, Public Works on board. This is going to be a very concerted effort to ensure what James is has reservations about, which a lot of people will, doesn't happen.
Well, some other reservations coming across here, and here's a tweet, for example, from Elliot, who says, it's a great idea, but it'll never happen. San Francisco NIMBYs will block it wherever you try to put it. Also, another listener says, has this been done before anywhere? If so, what were the results and how did it work?
So we looked at places in East Palo Alto. We looked at San Jose. We looked at places in Oregon and Seattle, Los Angeles. There's all different types of model. What we didn't want to do, and that's why we're not calling it safe parking, is we didn't want just a place where people could just kind of transition in and out and kind of be there and not really try to get them out of their vehicles. So this is a screened and referred type of place. That's why we're calling it a vehicle triage lot.
And here's Tiffany. Tiffany, you're on the air with us. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. First, I want to say where I teach and where I live is next to University Avenue, where up until about 6 months ago, we had up to 30 to 40 vehicles parked, RV vehicles. It was really impacting the neighborhood. It was impacting the schools. And one of the things that the community really wanted was a place for people in their RVs to go and park and have services and get that triage. So I'm really psyched about that. I've been teaching in the district for over 20 years, and I'm curious, a lot of our families in the southeast side of the city are impacted deeply by their experience either waiting on lists for public housing or living in public housing that is really extremely substandard. You know, if we take a walk from McLaren Park down into the Sunnyvale projects, it's like entering a third world country. And I'm curious about 2 points that I'll take the answer off the air. How are we expediting people to get into public housing? And then what is the city, the mayor, the board of supervisors doing to improve public housing? You know, some of the restorations going on in Bernal Heights dwellings cost more money and do more improvements than I see happening in some of my students' housing. So I just like questions around that.
All right, let me thank you for those questions, and we'll go to the supervisor.
Thank you. Well, this you could have a whole show on the
house, right.
On the Housing Authority. I actually started my career in San Francisco, working at the San Francisco Housing Authority. I returned as a commissioner to the Housing Authority. I wrote my master's thesis on public housing, and so it is an area that I have a lot of time, effort, and energy invested into. We are putting a significant investment in this upcoming affordable housing bond. It's the largest affordable housing bond in the city's history, $600 million. Almost $200 million of that will go to the renovation improvement of public housing. Under Mayor Gavin Newsom, almost a decade plus ago, we started what was called Hope SF, which was the renovation and revitalization of public housing done in coordination with the federal government. We are in a major transition point for the San Francisco Housing Authority. It will no longer exist the way it used to, and leadership change is happening, accounting and all the other problems that it's had is going to be kind of turned upside down and head in the positive direction. Sunnydale has a master developer, is Mercy Housing. They're working in strong coordination with the city. And she's right, it is very expensive to renovate, but once we do renovate that, it's a publicly owned asset and it will remain affordable. The wait list is tremendous to get in, and so it's really hard to get people in and out, but we're definitely dedicated to doing that, and I appreciate Tiffany calling because that's one of the areas near McLaren Park where there was a significant rise in number of RVs, and so I'm glad to hear that this is something that the neighbors had wanted.
Let me try to get another caller in quickly. Gina, that's you. Join us. Hi.
Hi, I'm Gina. I'm the homeless outreach coordinator at the Family Justice Center in Sonoma County, and my homeless outreach team helps homeless victims of crime, the vast majority of which are domestic violence, sexual assault, and sexual trafficking victims. And I guess I just have a comment. I'm really happy to hear about safe parking in San Francisco. It's been highly successful, although the spaces are limited and highly coveted in Sonoma County. It's been a successful program for a couple reasons. A lot of people who have been traumatized cannot go into shelter because it's re-traumatizing, and safe parking is a wonderful option for them. Secondly, one of the biggest barriers for our clients is that they do have pets, and they can't get the pets into shelter, but they're allowed at safe parking, and that's been successful.
Yeah, Gina, we have seconds left here. I'd like to hear the supervisor opine on what's going to be done about pets, literally seconds.
So pets will be allowed, and we're doing everything we can to use the best practices all around the Bay to make this work.
Good luck with this project, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
That's Supervisor Asha Safai, and when we return, we're going to talk about Judge Stevens. John Paul Stevens passed away at the age of 99, one of the liberal icons on the U.S. Supreme Court. Stay tuned. That's up ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.